This morning, y'all doing good? Awesome. I don't know how you couldn't be after a worship set like that. I hope and pray. I wish we could just do that all day, like over and over and over and over again, like for hours. You know, God's answering that prayer, actually. Tonight, 6 p.m., we're having a worship night here at the White Oak campus. So make sure, if you're one of the people that has said, man, they always come to me, and I'm the one that preaches almost every Sunday. They say, it'd be really nice if we could just worship longer, like the whole Sunday. I'm like, you know I'm the one that preaches, right? Like, I'm the one that shares the message. Yeah, I know, but it would just be nice if we would just worship the whole time. Like, you know what you're saying, right? I feel the same way, though. And we're going to do that tonight. We're going to worship at 6 p.m. I don't know what time we're going to be done, but we're going to worship and we're going to pray. So listen, if you want more of what we just had, get here tonight. We start at 6. So that means get here earlier. Like, if you want to be able to spend more time with people and talk with people and be here, get here earlier than 6. And listen, this is a home game for us. What does that mean? We're one church in 4 locations. There are people coming here tonight that have no idea what a white oak is. They just think that's a tall tree, okay? So if you're here, there is a building behind us called Aerospace Engineering. Smart people work there Monday through Friday, okay? Like aerospace engineers. They don't work on Saturday and Sunday. So they've given us their parking lot, free rein of it. If you're here and you're hearing my voice right now and you're able to walk, park back there tonight. Drop your family off and go park back there, okay? There's an alley behind us that if you're like, where does Pastor Nick park? Where's everybody else park? There's an alley. We park back there, and then we walk. There's a door with a big Bridge City emblem on it. We come in that door. You mean I could do that? Yeah, you could. Okay, let's welcome our cousins from North Braddock and Brighton Heights and Murraysville tonight. Can we do that?
Yes.
Awesome. Well, listen, if this is your first time here and you've never met me before, I'm Pastor Nick. And listen, I say it every single Sunday. I'll continue to say it. There's no place I'd rather be than right here with you all, worshiping God and praising his name. And I'm so, so humbled and honored and privileged that I get the opportunity to continue our series tonight, today, Set Free. And Rob shared a word during worship today that he believed that God gave him during our first worship experience. Just about being hungry and having a desire and a thirst for God. And I leaned over to him during our first worship experience during the song that we were singing about, you know, God, you've been faithful all the days of my life. All the days of my life, you have been faithful. And I felt like there were probably some people in this room that you were singing that like, I'm not there. You were singing it, but you weren't believing it. If I could know all the days of your life, you didn't think that song was true. And I felt like that song was a prophetic declaration for you. Because you just haven't gotten there yet where you could look back and see, yes, God has been faithful all the days of your life. I met Jesus, I was just about to turn 20 years old. I was 19. And the 19 years prior, I did not think God was faithful. I thought he was absent. But when I met Jesus and then I got to walk in the freedom that cross provides, I got to look back and see how God had his hand upon my life for all 19 years. From the moment I was born, he had his hand upon my life. Every moment of despair, every valley, every moment of struggle, every moment of loss, his hand was upon my life, but I couldn't see it until I got to the other end. You may be sitting here today and you may be thinking, God is not faithful. Yes, he is. You're just not faith-filled yet. Let that sink in. God's not faithful. Yes, he is. You're just not faith-filled yet. There's a difference. So, I'm going to pray before this message, because this message today is a faith-filled message. And if you sang that song, "All My Days You Have Been Faithful," and you didn't think that you were singing it and being honest, this message is for you. And I don't want you to be a hearer of the word today. I want you to be a doer of the word. That means you walk it out. I don't want you to experience freedom. I want you to walk in it. Experiencing freedom is like going to a good restaurant. Oh, that's a good meal. That was good. But you got to return that meal later. Some of you, that went right over your head. I don't want you to rent experience. I want you to own it. I want you to walk in it. So, Father God, I thank you so much for who you are, who we get to be. Lord, I pray that today's message would go upon ears that don't just hear it, but they hear it and then do it and walk it out. God, thank you for who you are, who we get to be, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. I've been having fun with this word indeed. I've been looking it up. I've been thinking about it. I've been talking about it. It's come up in all of our preaching meetings. Listen, this word indeed, it's not just possibly. It's not just if God likes you, or if you sit on the left side or the right side or in the middle, if you do this or if you do that. No, if you receive Jesus, you are free, and free in not possibly, not maybe, not just if he feels like it for the day, not if it's a Tuesday or a Wednesday or if it's really snowy outside or not. Not if he's cold or warm. No, indeed you are free if you've received him as your Savior. Now you get to choose, though, whether or not you just experience that from time to time or if you walk in it. If you know about it or if you're walking in it. It's different to walk in it. So I want to know if you're in the same boat that I am. I get frustrated and weighed down by knowing that I'm not walking in the full destiny of the calling that God has on my life. I get frustrated and bogged down by knowing that our church isn't walking in the full destiny and calling of that God has for us. That's a weight. I get weighed down by that, by thinking of it. I get exhausted by religion and thinking about religion, but I get really lit up and excited and energized by freedom. That energizes me. That excites me. Nobody else, I don't think? No, nobody else is excited about that? Okay, I mean, we're good. I know I'm different. It's okay. But we ask the questions sometimes, and there's lots of questions we're going to talk about today. But the question that we all struggle with sometimes is, why can't my faith just get me free? Why is there got to be action attached to it? And when there is action attached to it, how do I just step out of this darkness and into the light? I just want to do it once and for all. I don't want to have to continue to step out. I just want to do it once. I'm trying so hard over and over and over and over again. It feels like I just can't get ahead. Am I talking to anyone? Some people here, you feel like you're living in a cage and there's not a door. Other people, you feel like you're living in a cage, there's a door, but you're just safe there. You're comfortable. This is my cage. This is my cave. I like it here. It's nice. Others, we get free. We start to walk in the understanding that we're a child of the King. But we still live with this poverty mindset.
We're a king's kid. King's kid. Our dad has streets of gold, and we're walking and living in poverty. We're living with this mindset that we'll never have enough. We don't have enough. We'll never mount up. We have an inheritance that is unfathomable. You know, you ever have a word that you know you mess up all the time? So why not just mess it up on the front end? Take control. Own it. I'm not going to mess it up by accident if I know I can mess it up on purpose. It's unfathomable to do that. I'm a wise man. We're living below our status. I'm going to flip that on you. So many people are living above their means. In the kingdom, you're living below your means. Kingdom mindset, you're living the opposite as you should. Worldly mindset, you're living the opposite as you should. Flip it. I had to take my flesh captive for a second. Missy Elliott popped into my head. I didn't do it, but it was there. I had to let it, just the thought out. Context of 1 Kings, where we're going to spend a majority of our time today. I'm talking about Elijah. Major victories in 1 Kings 17 and 18. He's winning. Over and over and over and over and over again. Get you caught up. We talked about Jezebel last week. She heard some things. She puts a post on Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat or TikTok, whatever social media you want to talk about. She did that. Elijah saw this. It was just a threat, right? He saw this. It worked him up, got him all worked up, because Ahab, Jezebel's husband, goes home, tells his wife Jezebel everything that was wrong at work, and Jezebel didn't like it. She took offense to it. Secondhand offenses are sometimes worse than firsthand ones, and she made this post, right, this threat. Elijah didn't like it. He got all worked up. He goes on a downward spiral. This is just evidence that sometimes you shouldn't just go home and tell your wife everything that happened at work. Good things don't happen. Rachel's just looking at me from the front row like, "Why? How did you figure out biblical context for that?" I did it. So Elijah spirals downward. He was moving to locations and making moves that God did not tell him to do. You ever do that? You ever do things that God didn't tell you to do, and then you wonder why things aren't going right? Huh. He's listening to the wrong voices, listening to the wrong instructions, making moves he shouldn't be making. And Elijah walks through some things, walks through some emotions. And guess what emotions do? Lie. Emotions lie. He has six different emotions that he has to walk through. I don't know about you, but if I allow for emotions to run my life, I get stuck. It's like quicksand. Never been in quicksand, but I know it's a problem. Tailspin taught me that. If you don't know what tailspin is, watch it on YouTube. It's a cinematic marvel. It's a great cartoon. First one, fear. Elijah was afraid. Verse 3. Fear's a real thing. You may be like, "I'm not afraid." Well, you're a liar then. You've experienced fear before. If you haven't experienced fear,
Maybe you need to walk a little different and put yourselves in some situations that you maybe do. I experienced fear last night. I wasn't afraid the Steelers were going to lose. I knew they were going to lose. I walked out of my car to get a speaker. I'm serious. I walked outside of my car to get a speaker, and I turned the corner of my car, and there's a Rottweiler I'd never seen before and a German Shepherd, and they're like, oh. I'm a big guy. I love dogs, but not that dog. He looked at me like, oh. I was like, I don't need that speaker. Started walking back to my house, and he started running towards me. I was afraid. He meant business. That Rottweiler was standing on business. And he kept coming. And Winston, my 17-year-old dog that got all the heart in the world, he was getting ready to come running out. And Winston would have stood on business until he knew what that dog was standing on. But I'm going to talk about real fear here. I used to struggle with fear for real in my life. And my biggest fear was failure. I was afraid of failing. So guess what I did? I took control of the failure. And I wouldn't even try. So if I didn't try, guess what I would do? I would ultimately fail. But I was in control. This was pre-Jesus. Next one, desperation. I have had enough. I'm done. You ever throw your hands up and say, I'm done? Walk out, go throw yourself a little pity party? And you think everybody's going to chase you? Where's it? Oh, I guess they're not coming. You've done some desperate things. Desperate times call for desperate. When you're a son or a daughter of the king, you're not desperate. You're never desperate. The only thing you should desire and be desperate for is him. Next one, low self-esteem. I'm no better than my ancestors. I'm never going to amount to anything. I'll never be better than them. Listen, when you're a king's kid, he has everything at your that he wants to give you it all. Whatever you desire from him is yours. You just got to chase after it. You're like, that may be true for everybody else, but it's not true for me. Continue to buy into that lie. Because I bought into it for years. Until you start hanging around with some people that are going to speak truth into your life, and you're going to start walking in that truth and not just sit in it and experience it. And, oh, Sunday mornings are nice. I get an hour and 15 minutes about being around some encouraging, empowering people. Until you start walking in it, your self-esteem is not going to change. You're going to go back into the same old stuff. Anger. I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. Verse 10, I've worked hard for you and got nothing. We're going to unpack these, but this is him. I'm doing all of this and you're doing nothing for me. Where are you, God? How many times have we done this? Listen, anger is a real thing that so many people struggle with. I'm in line. I'm half Serbian, half Italian. I got an anger temper and I'm hungry. A temper and a appetite. Thank you. I forgot. I'm hungry now. I forgot. Forgot the word. Huh? What kind of snacks you got? I know you got fruit snacks in that bag. They're Welch's too. They're good ones. He and I both made a mistake once and bought the Super Mario fruit snacks. No, I don't like Rice Krispie treats. Told you. I knew he had fruit snacks. But listen, if I know that I can have a temper if I'm hungry, so Rachel knows, just give him snacks. If you give him snacks, you know that science says don't feed the animals? I want a sign that says, feed him. Loneliness. I'm the only one left. You know what loneliness loves? More loneliness. You ever been lonely and you stay there? Because you think, oh, nobody cares about me. Nobody loves me. Nobody's calling me. What, your phone stopped working? The enemy loves when you start saying that to yourself. Nobody's calling me. Well, you didn't call anybody either. Worry and anxiety. Guess what worry loves? Anxiety. Guess what anxiety loves? Worry. And guess what neither of them ever did? Added a moment to your life. They're trying to kill me. He's living there. He's staying there. He's stuck there. Any one of these are overwhelming, but all six of them at once can kill you, can overwhelm you, can sink you. And I'm concerned because as I'm going through these, a lot of people are like, yeah, mm-hmm, yep, got that one, got that one. Bingo. Some of you thought we were playing message bingo again. I got a coverall. What do I win? Here, some fruit snacks, Ace. There you go. I can't eat them. It'll get stuck in my teeth. Ace grew up. She never had a nickname. She started going to a connection group. Guess what she got? Nickname. Now nobody even knows her real name. They just call her Ace. God does not leave you where you're at. Just like Elijah. He didn't get left where he was. He didn't see him and chastise him and yell at him and get mad at him and point at him and say, why are you doing what you're doing? No. He gave him an invitation. And instead of looking at that invitation and getting angry and staying in self-pity and continuing to sit in his stuff and have a pity party, Elijah moved. Listen, us being set free and walking in freedom and not just visiting it is going to require us to take some steps. It's going to require us to move in simple obedience, have a fresh encounter with God, and us walking in a new assignment. When we have a new assignment, it gives us a purpose and an excitement. When we have a fresh encounter with God, it gives us an excitement to move past where we just were. And when we do all of this in obedience, simple obedience, I'm not talking about you being the most diligent person in the world, like Super Bowl quality athlete here. I'm talking about reading your Bible every day for a year. That's it. We have one that just has all the days listed, 365 days. That means that you're really obedient and you're going to get it done. We have another one that's a six-day plan. That means you're only going to fail once for the day, for the week. And we have another one that's a five-day plan that already set you up to fail twice. I mean, I'm serious. We have different obedient levels of the read the Bible in a year plan. Pick which one you're going to do. But be obedient, simple obedience here. And once you start walking in simple obedience, watch what God does. There's guys in my life that are doing this for the first time and they're falling in love with the Bible. I can't wait to read tomorrow. This is crazy what's in here. That's what they're saying. Well, that was interesting to read with my morning coffee. That was shocking. Simple obedience. Are giving people a fresh encounter with God, and now they're getting a new assignment. Here we go. Being set free will help you to understand that what we all do is spiritual. All of our lives are a spiritual battle, and we need to move forward. For 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things we cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. You
have hope. You will never lose hope. When you start walking in freedom and you understand that you're a son and a daughter of the King, you're not going to lose hope. How do you walk in this? Listen, we're not just telling you about Bridge City 101, which used to be Next Steps. We're not just telling you about connection groups, which are starting up in February, just because we want you to have somewhere to go during the week for an hour and a half. We're not just telling you because there's lunch after church today at Bridge City 101. We're telling you because we want you to know that there are people that have gone through some stuff and they want to help you go through whatever stuff you're going through. You know, there's an amazing book that Lennon had and still has probably. I think it's one of the greatest books of all time. It's an amazing piece of literature. It's called Everybody Poops. It's a great book. But I think it's a phenomenal book because it got him understanding, like, hey, this is normal. This is cool. Everybody does it. Every pastor that I'm around, and they all have this desire to write books. I don't think I'm ever going to be an author. I don't have a desire to write a book. I never do. But I think if I do, it's going to be called Everybody Has Stuff. Maybe I'll just sit down and I'll dictate it and somebody else can write it and Nate will draw pictures. Maybe it'll just be a picture book. Just slide through. But listen, it's because, listen, the people that are sitting in front of you and behind you and beside you, they have stuff and they didn't make it through it by themselves. They made it through because of Jesus, or they're making it through because of Jesus, or they're going to make it through because of Jesus. And whenever you go through Bridge City 101, you discover that the people that are leading that or sharing in that or being a part of that got through their stuff because they identified who Jesus is. They identified their gifts. They started walking in the inheritance that they have, and they're a king's kid. Everybody got stuff. And being set free will require us to take steps of simple obedience. 1 Kings 19:5-6. Then he laid down and slept under a broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. He looked around and there beside his head and some bread that was baked on a hot stone and a jar of water. So he ate and he drank and he laid down again. Sometimes the best thing you could do for the kingdom is eat and sleep. And then do it again. This is biblical. Sometimes I have to look at Rachel like, babe, I have to take a nap. I'm going to eat first, and then I'm going to take a nap. And then I'm going to wake up, and then I'm going to eat again. In Jesus' name. And if you have a problem with that, go spend some time with Jesus. Because that's what I need to do right now. And you know what Rachel usually says? I think you need to do that. Or she'll say, hey, babe, take your watch off, put your phone down, take a nap. Because sometimes the best thing you can do for the kingdom is take a nap. Get some rest. Listen, the Holy Spirit is represented by water. The Christ is represented by bread and the stone and the scripture. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit is what you need. We need to consume the Word of God, and we need to consume worship. Worship isn't just something we do. It's something we consume, we take in. We're too unhealthy to receive healing mentally and spiritually sometimes because we're not eating right and we're not resting right. Go take a nap. Go eat something and take another nap. I'm being serious. Go home. Go get something to eat today. Go home, take a nap, eat again, and come to the worship night. And then fast for the next 3.5 days. I'm being serious. And see how you feel on Wednesday night after prayer wraps up. And we walk. We're not going to Plaza. Plaza's so expensive now. Every time I go in there, they got a new chandelier. I don't want a new chandelier. I want lower prices. And I want it now.
Seriously, they got a new chandelier, new... Listen, if we don't prioritize our lives, someone else is going to do it for you. If you don't prioritize what you're eating, physically, spiritually, emotionally, all these things, somebody else is going to do it for you. What are you taking in? What's your daily reading look like? Whatever you're taking in is going to come out one way or another. Whether you like it or not, what are you putting in? Listen, we need recovery. Some of us need to recover our calendar. Calendar recovery is a real thing. If you don't know what you're putting on your calendar, if you don't have enough time to take a nap, it's a problem. You're like, it takes hours. No, I'm talking about like 15, 20 minutes, 30-minute nap. Rachel's the worst napper in the world. She's not good at it. She would much rather run the vacuum. That's more restful to her than taking a nap. But you need to find what fills you up, what gives you rest. What's your Sabbath look like? What does your Sabbath look like? What does your rest look like? We need recovery. Some need calendar recovery. Some need mental recovery. Some need Celebrate Recovery, which is a wonderful ministry on Monday nights. Helps with every hurt, habit, or hang up. Some people think it's just, it just helps with alcohol or drugs. No, it helps with every hurt, habit, or hang up. Every single one of them. And some of us have some hurts we need to get over and recover from. We need to see freedom as the finish line, when in reality, we all see freedom as the finish line, but when in reality, freedom is the starting point. Oh, we get there, we're like, oh, freedom, we got there, we're here. I said, this is nice. I'm just going to stay here. I'm going to get comfy at freedom. Got my tissues. Get comfy right here. Anybody got a pillow? Blanket? A whoobie? We just want to stay here. When God gets you free so that you can move and do more and run. You know, I recently lost a lot of weight. It took 12 and a half years, but I lost a lot of weight. And I used to pick on my mother-in-law because I told her I would never run with her. I told her that only the wicked run. And I had chapter and verse for it. I did. Only the wicked run. I was like, I don't have anything to run from. But ran my first 5K. I ran, walked, and jogged. And crawled my first 5K. And my doctor gave me clearance to do it. I didn't go anything against doctor's orders. I will never do it again because running it wasn't fun. Okay? I didn't have fun. I will ride my bike for 1,000 miles. It's the most fun thing in the world. But I got free from stuff in my life so that I could do more. I'll run until the race is finished now. I'll run more races with her. I want to do it. But I'm telling you this because I want you to get free from stuff, not so that you could just rest. I'm free. I want you to run more. I want you to do more. I want you to get free so you can go outside and people can see you in the freedom that you're walking in and want what you have. That's where the freedom comes from. That's why when you're well-rested and napped up and well-fed, people notice that. Oh, you look good. What happened to you? I took a nap. First Kings 19:7-8. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, get up and eat some more. This is nice. Eat again. Or the journey ahead will be too much for you.
So he got up and ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. Listen, the journey ahead of you, if you're not eating right, you might not be able to walk it out. You need to eat more. Some of you are like, yeah, I'm going to all-you-can-eat buffet after church. I'm not just talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. What are you eating? Being set free will need us to choose to change and step into a fresh encounter with God. Listen, worship was great today. Worship was phenomenal today. But I believe that there's going to be even more tonight. God has something for you at worship. Verses 9 and 10, there he came to a cave where he spent the night. I just want to give a shout out to Chris Hodges. He pastors one of the largest churches in America, Church of the Highlands. He wrote this book, Out of the Cave. Phenomenal book. Get it on Amazon, go find it. But a lot of the teachings, a lot of the points, a lot of the stuff is coming right out of this book. Phenomenal book. Chapter, phenomenal. So get it. Then he came to a cave, he spent the night, but the Lord said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah replied, I've zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down their altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. This pressure was a lot for Elijah. Verse 11, go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. You know, could it be that in our lives, we're waiting for this giant, spectacular, grandiose thing to happen from God? And he just wants to be a gentle whisper. Would that be enough for you? We want this big, huge change to happen immediately. But God just might, it might just be a gentle whisper. It might be a little nudge, a little push. A small, minute moment of discipline and obedience on your behalf might change everything. Would that be enough? Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. We don't like being still, but sometimes that's exactly what God wants you to do. Take a nap and be still and know that I am God. Sometimes you got to be still because you got to realize that he's not going to move you until you do the last thing he told you to do. You know, worship, sometimes we come into it and we're like, man, worship wasn't it today. They were off. I don't know what key they were in, but they weren't all in it together. Worship's not about you. Worship's about him becoming bigger and you becoming smaller. Now listen, I'm so thankful that we have the most amazing worship teams, most gifted, anointed, talented musicians in the world. I am so thankful for them. Bree, the team, you guys did a phenomenal job. Nate, our arts director, who snuck in, he's in the back now. He has his green hat on. Looks like Jacques Cousteau. He always looks like he's getting ready to lead a sea expedition. I don't know what he's looking for, but he's going to find something.
phenomenal musicians, amazing. But what if I told you that tonight at the worship night, Kevin and myself and Rob are leading worship? Would you come? Would you come for other reasons besides just coming to see it burn? I don't care who's leading worship. It's about him. And Chops over here is making he's going to play the triangle. Worship should be not about what song it is, if it was a good set list, if you really like that song. It should be about you laying down your life before the King and making him bigger and yourself smaller. Putting all your stuff at the altar. That's going to be like chapter 3 of the book. We all got stuff. We all got to lay it down. Chapter 3. Stuff. So I have a question for you. Do you know the difference between being distressed and depressed? Can you decipher the difference of those two words? Because the world, a lot of times, wants us all to think that we're depressed and we're living in depression and we're walking in depression and we're functionally depressed and all these things, when a lot of times we're just dealing with some distressing things. I wake up distressed a lot. I go to sleep distressed a lot. Some of y'all are distressing. The ones who laughed are like, I know, sorry. No, I'm just kidding. Laughter is good for the heart like medicine. But there's a difference between that. Depressed is different. Don't confuse them. But we need to go to worship to be able to get free of a lot of things. I'm not bringing light to either of these. Both are real. Both are not fun. But if we want a solution, God just wants us to be in his presence. We want a solution. God wants us to be in his presence. What's your go-to worship list? Do you have one? Do you have a go-to worship list? Like, this is my song. This is what I go to. This is how I go to war and worship. If you don't have a go-to worship list, get to the connection point. They'll get you one. I know who's at the connection point. I know they have one. They'll send you their Spotify list. If they don't have one, they'll get you one. What are you doing for prayer and fasting? How are you going to increase your devotion and decrease the distractions in your life? That's what fasting is. It's not a hunger strike. It's you increasing your devotion to God and decreasing your distractions and telling your flesh who is boss and what sustains you. You're telling your flesh, I am going to focus on God. Food isn't going to sustain me. He is. And I want to break the all or nothing mentality. If you think that if you're just doing water, that's the only way you can fast, that is the enemy trying to keep you from participating. I want you to do something. Fast a meal. And don't come to me and say, I'm fasting breakfast. Because my next question is going to be, do you eat breakfast? And you're like, nah, I never eat breakfast. Then you're not fasting. You're doing what you normally do, and you're doing it well. And don't come to me and say, I fasted dinner, and then at 9 o'clock, I hear you at the microwave while I'm on the phone with you. Doot, 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 doot. What are you doing? I'm getting a snack. You fasted dinner time, sir. But what are you planning to do? 1 Kings 19:13-14. When Elijah heard, he wrapped his face in his cloak and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave And a voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied again, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty. But the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you and torn down your altars and killed every one of your prophets, and I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." Listen, he was ashamed of his identity. He pulled his cloak over his head. He lost his confidence. He needed reminded. Some of you here today, you need reminded. You need reminded that where you are doesn't define who you are, and where you're at doesn't mean you need to stay there. We have to be willing to go to the entrance of the cave we're in and just stand and wait till God meets us there. You know there's a way out of the cave. God wants to unwrap the cloak that we're hiding in and uncover our face and our lives and help us to understand that we're a son of the King. You need to step into our new assignment. There's nothing more powerful in our lives than a project and a purpose. You're God's project. You're Jesus' purpose. This is what really, like, that's unfathomable to me. That's called a callback when you go back to the beginning. See, I drew you all back in. He died for me and you so that we could have life and life abundantly. Great quote from Viktor Frankl: "People have enough to live by, but nothing to live for. They have the means, but no meaning." You have a purpose. Now you just need a project. What's your assignment? Verses 15 and 16, "Then the Lord told him, go back the same way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram, and then anoint Jehu, grandson of Nimshi, the king of Israel, and then anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat from the town of Abba-la-ba-ba, and replace you as my prophet." He didn't just give him one new assignment, he gave him three. Gave him some people to walk with. First Kings 19, verse 18. "Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." He had a new, fresh assignment. He had people that he was going to walk with. Elijah stepped into a relational strength. There was power in numbers. You may be sitting here today and you're like, "This is all good, but I'm going to walk out of here today and I'm going to feel alone." The first step is making sure that you have an encounter with God, and you're here, and I pray that you do, and I pray that you make sure that you start following a new teacher, because if you don't make that change, I can't help you, and you can't help yourself. He can. The next thing is getting around a group of people that are going to help you walk through your stuff. Groups are coming up. February 2nd, they kick off. You can scan that QR code. It's just going to take you to the group's landing page. They're all going to be listed soon. But I want you to get a part of a group. Because if you're going to continue to just walk in fear and anxiety and worry and anger and despair, and stuff, that's your choice. But groups are here and they're available. You have to purpose placing yourself in His presence. So listen, if you're here today and you don't have a day, a time, a place, a moment where you've received Him as the forgiver of your past and leader into your future, I want today to be your day. Get out of the cave. And I'm going to ask you to do something really brave. Let's just slip your hand up to heaven and say, God, that's me. I don't have a day, a time, a place where I've received you as my Lord and Savior. Anyone at all today? Father God, I thank you for the freedom we get to walk in. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would not just experience the freedom, but we would walk in it all the days of our lives. And Lord, I pray that as we walk in it, that others would see it, they would understand it, and they would desire it themselves. In Jesus' glorious name.